retribution. We'll tackle the Quad Squad one at a time, but first we're going to deal with the ringleader. After all, you're the one who put the nail in her coffin the day you pinned her diary page to the notice board. Terror ricocheted around inside Haley's head. Jake had been in on everything from the start. He'd sat at the bar that first night watching her, raising his tumbler in her direction, waiting to make his move. Her husband, the man she loved, had married her so he could destroy her slowly from the inside out.
"It's a real shame you cut our time together short by sticking your nose in where it didn't belong. I wanted to watch you self-destruct a little more first,"
Travis drawled. "Please don't do this," Haley cajoled, her heart thundering beneath her ribs. "We were just a bunch of stupid teenagers. It was only supposed to be a silly prank. We never imagined Emma would react the way she did. I didn't intend her any harm."
"Your intentions don't interest me,"
Travis replied, his eyes hard and cold as they bored into her like daggers.
"My sister died because of your merciless campaign of terror against her, and now it's time for you to learn a few lessons in fear, the kind of fear that drives a girl to kill herself. It would be a fitting end if you hanged yourself too, but that's too good a death for you. We're going to do things a little differently."
Haley's stomach knotted at the ominous threat. She stumbled backward in a bid to get away, but Travis held her roughly upright.
"Listen to me very carefully. You're going to walk out to your car, get in the driver's seat, and put both hands on the wheel. If you attempt to run or scream or do anything else that draws any attention to us, I'll bundle you into the car and take you to an undisclosed location and make sure no one ever hears from you again. After that, I'll come back here and finish off your dog."
"No, please don't," Haley whispered. "Leave Katniss out of this." By way of response, Travis shoved her toward the front door. She eyed her purse on the hall table despairingly. Her phone was a tantalizing couple of feet away. Detective Tillett would know something was wrong when she didn't call him, but by then it might be too late. He had no idea she was with Travis, and he had no way of tracking her. "You won't get away with this," Haley said, trying to hold her voice steady. "Detective Tillett is on his way, and your face is on my security camera hard drive now."
"Your camera's disarmed, sweetheart. Isn't that what our Dylan calls you?"
Travis threw back his head and laughed raucously.
"My face isn't on the hard drive, and neither is yours. In fact, there's nothing to indicate you came back here today."
He shoved her forward, bundling a scarf around his neck and over his mouth.
"Now open the door and walk to your car. Keep your eyes down. Don't attempt to make contact with anyone."
Fingers shaking, Haley opened her front door. She was sorely tempted to glance to the left, hoping to catch Edith Moore looking out from behind her curtain. Maybe she could give her a signal of some kind. Her heart sank at the hopelessness of that thought. The old woman was half blind. She wouldn't know what was going on. She'd think it was Jake accompanying her to the car. Haley realized with a start that it must have been Travis who Edith saw the day the fruit basket was delivered to her doorstep. He looked so similar to his brother, it would be impossible to tell them apart from Edith's vantage point, especially if he'd been wearing a scarf that day too. Fighting back a wave of nausea, Haley opened her car door and climbed in. Travis slid into the passenger seat next to her and thumped the stun baton against the palm of his hand.
"Now drive."
As they exited the subdivision, Haley scanned the occupants of approaching cars, trying to spot someone she knew, hoping she could send a message with her distraught eyes that would alert them to the fact that something was desperately wrong. With a sinking feeling in her heart, she realized that even if she did pass someone she recognized, they'd assume at a cursory glance that it was Jake sitting next to her. No one was going to intervene in her abduction. She was completely on her own. Within minutes, they'd left the subdivision behind and were on the freeway heading south. Haley held the steering wheel in a death grip as she tried in vain to think of a plan to get away from Travis. She glanced at the fuel gauge, but thanks to her methodical habit of filling it up once the needle went below the halfway mark, it was close to full. Maybe she could tell him she needed to use the restroom and make a run for it while they were stopped. She would have to fashion a meticulous plan to pull that off. Her mind raced through one frightening scenario after another. She wondered if Jake was still working in his office. Did he even know his brother had kidnapped her? She still wasn't entirely sure she believed everything Travis had told her. It was far too painful to think that Jake wanted her dead. Spotting a sign for services at the next exit, she made a show of squirming in her seat. I need to use the bathroom. Travis kept his eyes forward.
Tough luck.
I can't hold it in for much longer. Haley whined.
We're not stopping, so deal with it.
I'm telling you, I can't! Haley yelled.
All right!
Travis thumped his fist on the dashboard.
There's a rest stop a half hour or so farther south. We'll pull over there.
But...
Just shut up and keep driving!
Haley flinched at the raw anger in his voice. She was only too aware that he was still holding the stun baton in his lap. It was anyone's guess what else he might be concealing inside his jacket. It wasn't worth risking stoking his anger. She wondered if Detective Tillett was growing concerned yet about her whereabouts. No doubt he'd tried to call her by now. Natalie might have been trying to get in touch with her, too. Haley thought of her parents, and tears pricked her eyes. Now, she regretted not calling them more often and keeping them apprised of what was happening. Would she ever see them or hear their voices again? Travis's phone began to ring. He shot Haley a warning glance before fishing it out of his pocket.
Yeah, I got her. No, not yet.
Haley's stomach twisted. Was he talking to her husband? Dylan?
See you there. Yeah, bye.
Travis ended the call and slipped his phone back into his pocket. He pointed to a sign indicating a rest stop 1 mile ahead.
You can pull off now.
Wordlessly, Haley turned the wheel and exited the freeway. She wasn't about to waste an opportunity to try and escape. Surely there must be a trucker or two around, if nothing else. A flicker of hope shot through her when she pulled into the rest stop and spotted two semi-trucks lined up on one side of the parking lot. The curtains were drawn on the cabs, but it was comforting to know that there were other people in the vicinity at least. She'd have to think through any escape attempt carefully. If she started screaming for help, the truckers might not wake up in time to stop Travis from stunning her and dragging her back to the car. She needed a better plan. She switched off the engine and turned to him. Can I get out now? He narrowed his eyes at her, inching the stun baton closer.
Just remember, if you yell for help or make any stupid moves, you're riding in the trunk the rest of the way.
Opening the passenger door, he climbed out and shadowed her as she made her way to the women's bathroom. To her horror, he followed her inside. What are you doing? She demanded. How about a little privacy?
I'm making sure you don't try anything stupid, like up and disappear on me, he said,
sticking his face up to hers.
Now get a move on. We don't have all day.
Leaning up against a filthy sink, he folded his arms in front of him and stared defiantly at her. Haley took a quick calming breath and darted a glance around the dingy, stained restroom. There was no exit, only a small vent too high up on the wall to be of any use. She went into the stall farthest from Travis, locked it, and leaned against the door, trying to think. Her only chance was to make a run for it once she exited the restroom. She could leg it across to the closest semi-truck and bang on the door, if she made it that far. Even if Travis used his stun baton on her, he might not have time to drag her all the way back to her car before one of the truckers came out to see what all the ruckus was about. And, with a bit of luck, the trucker might be more than a match for Travis. She had to believe most truckers carried a handgun in their cab for protection. At the very least, they could call the police on her behalf and tell the other truckers on the road to keep an eye out for her vehicle. It was a desperate plan, but it was her only shot. Her mind made up, she flushed the toilet and opened the door, tossing an insolent glance at Travis as she washed her hands. When the dryer switched off, she stalked past him, but before she could exit the restroom, her right arm was wrenched backward.
Not so fast, he snarled.
He wrapped his arms tightly around her waist, holding the stun baton inches from her body.
We'll walk out together, just in case you're planning any funny business.
Haley swallowed back the bile rising up her throat as she eyed the baton. It wouldn't do any good to try and break away from Travis's pincer-like hold. He'd immobilize her in seconds. Reluctantly, she allowed herself to be marched back to her car, where Travis shoved her unceremoniously into the driver's seat.
Get back on the freeway, he growled. Keep heading south. We've got another hour to go.
Haley gritted her teeth in frustration, but there was nothing else to do but to keep driving to wherever he was taking her. They didn't exchange another word until Travis ordered her to take the next exit. They drove through a small town, a smattering of businesses on either side of the road, and then turned onto a gravel road. They were well out in the countryside now, in a rural area unfamiliar to Haley. She drove along the potholed road for another couple of miles until Travis instructed her to pull off to the side. Haley looked around anxiously. Why are we stopping here?
I'm driving the rest of the way.
Travis reached into the glove box and pulled out a long black scarf.
Tie this over your eyes.
Haley recoiled. No, I don't want to. Her voice cut off abruptly as pain ricocheted through her body. Her muscles seized up and she slumped to one side, momentarily rendered immobile by the stun baton in Travis's hand. She lay across the seat moaning, powerless to resist him as he fastened the blindfold around her eyes and then duct-taped it to her face, blacking out daylight. He pulled her wrists in front of her and secured them with a zip tie before pulling her roughly to her feet and half-dragging her around to the back of the car. Before she fully grasped what was happening, he'd tossed her into the trunk and slammed the lid closed. Chapter 28. For the next excruciating mile or so, the car bumped up and down mercilessly over the rutted road. Haley did what little she could to protect herself from the violent jolting by bracing her legs against the sides of the trunk. She had no idea where they were headed, but Travis had done a good job of making sure she wouldn't be able to lead anyone back here, even if she did somehow manage to escape. At last, the car rolled to a stop and the engine cut out. A cold sweat clung to the back of Haley's neck. She waited uneasily for what would happen next, her muscles cramping up. Travis left her trapped for another 10 or 15 minutes before finally opening the truck and hauling her to her feet. The ground beneath her was uneven, and she almost stumbled when he shoved her roughly forward. When she came to a stop, he unceremoniously wrenched the blindfold down around her neck, ripping strands of her hair out along with the duct tape stuck to her forehead. Her heart sank as she took in her surroundings. Woodland stretched out in every direction as far as the eye could see. In front of her stood a filthy, dilapidated trailer surrounded by the remnants of a chain-link fence, a collection of old tires, a rusted deck chair, and a couple of broken plant pots. Travis watched her reaction with relish.
Welcome to your new abode. Don't worry, it's only temporary.
He laughed as if it was some private joke, and then opened the torn screen door and elbowed her up the steps. Inside, the grungy space was moldy and smelled like something was decaying. Stuffing peeked through the couch cushions, and the tiny windows were coated with a thick layer of grime the color of pond scum. Haley suspected that animals might have been living inside the trailer, although the dark shag carpet was so filthy it was impossible to say for sure. The back of the trailer sported a queen-sized bed with a frayed duvet, a pile of rank-smelling clothing, and miscellaneous items. A fresh wave of panic washed over her. She didn't relish the idea of being forced to sleep on the unsanitary bed, but it was unlikely Travis would let her sleep on the couch next to the door, if he let her live through the night. Without warning, he shoved her down on the sagging couch. She yelped as her shoulder banged up against the side of a cabinet. Why are you doing this to me?
Like I told you, it's time to pay for your crime. You thought you got away with killing Emma years ago. But she had people who loved her, brothers who vowed to protect her. Only we couldn't because of what you did. You took her from us. All that's left for us is to avenge her.
Haley stared at him, her throat bobbing with trepidation as she formed the question that was burning inside her. Is Dylan really in on this with you? Travis threw her a scathing look.
You killed his baby sister. What do you think?
Shame and terror blended as one in Haley's heart. I feel sick about what happened, but I didn't kill your sister. She did that to herself. I admit I'm the one who posted a page of her diary on a notice board. It was a dumb thing to do, and I deeply regret the pain it caused her. I've had to live with what I did all these years. Believe me, if I could take it back, I would.
But you can't, and that's the problem.
Travis cut in.
Now it's time for retribution. An eye for an eye.
Please, I'm begging you to let me go, Travis. I didn't know what I was doing. I wasn't the same person back then. I was insecure and desperate for friends. I only did it to try and impress people, like teenagers do.
I couldn't care less about your lousy sob story,
Travis hissed.
If that's your only excuse for the way you treated Emma, then you don't deserve to live.
Haley opened her mouth to respond, but the sound of a vehicle pulling up outside the trailer silenced her. She stiffened. Was it Jake? Dylan, as she'd have to refer to him now? It almost seemed easier not to call him Jake. It was too much of a disconnect to think that the man she'd lived with for the past 9 months was committed to destroying her, killing her, even. A tremor of fear rippled across her shoulders. Would they take it that far? Travis had hinted as much. But surely her husband wouldn't allow it. Or would he? A car door slammed, and then footsteps trudged toward the trailer and up the steps. The screen door creaked outward, and a shadow filled the doorway. Haley sucked in a sharp breath. Dylan's steely eyes locked onto hers, signaling a hatred she could scarcely fathom.
Dylan, please help me, she cried. You don't have to do this.
Ignoring her, he addressed his brother.
No run-ins with that detective I warned you about? No, just the dog. I had to stun it.
Dylan curled his lip.
You should have finished it off while you were at it. We'll worry about the mutt afterward,
Travis replied.
Did you get the supplies? No time. My nosy neighbor was peeking around her curtain, watching my every move.
Travis narrowed his eyes at Dylan.
You were supposed to get everything out of the garage and bring it with you.
Dylan shrugged.
I'll run into town and grab some shovels and a tarp. We agreed not to show our faces in town.
Travis snapped.
It won't be a problem. I'll wear a beanie and shades.
Haley sucked in a sharp breath, her heart quaking in her chest. There was no mistaking the intent. They were planning on killing her and burying her out here in the woods. Travis scowled.
Don't be long. We need to finish this tonight.
Dylan threw Haley a darting look as he strode to the door.
Just make sure she doesn't go anywhere until I get back.
He let the screen door slam behind him and, moments later, Haley heard the sound of an engine starting up. An unfamiliar dark green sedan pulled away from the trailer. Haley grimaced. A rental, no doubt. Dylan had thought of every detail, just in case there was a trace out on his car. A hollow silence filled the trailer. She glanced across at Travis with trepidation, waiting for him to speak, terrified of what he'd say next. His gaze bored into her.
You thought you got away with it, didn't you? You're sick in the head, you know that? Now you're finally going to learn that the way you treat people always comes back to haunt you in the end. And this is the end of the road for you.
Haley shrank back from him in terror. I'm begging you not to go through with this. I can't believe Jake would go along.
His name's not Jake,
Travis screamed in her face.
It's Dylan Ramsey, Emma's brother.
Okay, you're right, but he's still my husband. Travis cut her off with a caustic laugh.
He was never your husband.
Tears streamed down Haley's cheeks. Then why did he marry me?
It wasn't the original plan, but when you fell for him, we realized how advantageous it would be to have complete access to your life. A marriage of convenience so we could dismantle you from within, strip away your hopes and dreams, your future, just like you did to Emma.
Haley suppressed a sob. I never wanted her to kill herself. You have to believe me.
I don't have to believe anything you tell me, but I do believe what everyone else at your school had to say about you. Spoiled, conceited, contemptuous, devious, dangerous. You were a callous cow back then, and that's all you'll ever be.
That's not true, Travis. People change. That's not who I am anymore. That's not who I ever really was. I was trying too hard to fit in. I'm ashamed of what I did. I've spent my life trying to make amends ever since.
Too late for Emma, isn't it? You took her life, and you destroyed my parents' lives, and my life, and my brother's. Sorry isn't going to cut it. Justice demands a life for a life.
Haley shrank back from the spittle hovering on Travis's lips. He was strikingly like her husband, and yet unrecognizable in other ways, a darkness brooding in his eyes that struck terror in her heart. It was beginning to sink in that she wasn't going to leave this trailer alive, not if the brothers had their way. They had hunted her down like crazed killers, put their own lives on hold so they could infiltrate hers long enough to destroy it. Dylan had even allowed Travis to beat him up to throw her off the trail. They'd taken everything from her, including her dream of a happy marriage. And judging by the supplies Dylan had gone into town to pick up, she may not have long before they took her life, too. Somehow, she had to find a way to break out of the trailer. Detective Tillett would never find her in time to save her. Her best bet was to try and escape before her husband returned from town. Despite her self-defense training, she couldn't possibly take on both brothers at once. Squeezing her eyes shut, she tried to clear her brain of the panic, rapidly turning it to mush. The bathroom was the only place in the trailer that offered any privacy and the possibility of escape. If she could free her hands, she might be able to climb out through the vent on the roof. It was a long shot, but maybe this time she could pull it off. She squirmed on the couch for a minute or two, then said abruptly,
"I need to use the bathroom."
"Just shut up and wait till Dylan gets back."
Haley grimaced. "I can't hold it. My stomach's upset. This trailer's going to stink even worse than it already does if you make me sit here any longer." Travis glanced up from his phone, his brow creasing with distaste.
"Whatever,"
he growled, gesturing with a tilt of his chin to the tiny door halfway between the couch and the bed.
"Make it quick."
Slowly, Haley got to her feet and walked over to the bathroom door. She placed her bound hands on the handle and twisted it open, holding her breath when she caught sight of the plastic vent on the roof. It was just about big enough for her to squeeze through if she could make it up there. She closed the bathroom door behind her and quietly locked it. After turning on the faucet, she opened the cabinet above the sink and began looking for a pair of scissors or something else she could use to cut the zip tie around her wrists. Her frantic search of the cabinet turned up nothing other than a handful of out-of-date toiletries and a foul-smelling toothbrush. Growing more frantic with every passing second, she knelt and opened the tiny cupboard beneath the sink. A few rolls of toilet paper and some cleaning supplies were wedged around the plastic pipes. In desperation, she grabbed the tiny trash can and rummaged through it. Her heart jolted at the sight of a rusted razor blade glinting among the trash. Gingerly, she fished it out and began to saw at the zip tie. Sweat trickled down the back of her neck.
"What are you doing in there? Hurry up!"
Travis yelled. Haley bit her lip, tasting blood. From the sound of his voice, she could tell he hadn't ventured any closer to the bathroom.
"I told you my stomach's upset!" she hollered back. "I need a few more minutes!"
She wiped at a strand of hair that had fallen across her face and frantically went back to work sawing at the zip tie. After a couple more seconds, it finally popped apart. She tossed it in the garbage can along with the razor blade and then slipped off her heels, climbed up on the toilet lid, and reached for the vent above. Opening it all the way, she gritted her teeth as she prepared to pull herself up, bracing her legs against two walls of the tiny bathroom. It took all of her willpower not to grunt out loud as she inched her way painfully upward. With a final burst of energy, she pulled herself through the vent, trying desperately not to rattle it. Free at last, she stuck her head back down into the tiny bathroom and called out,
"Almost done!"
Gingerly, she began crawling on her hands and knees along the trailer roof through the half-mulched leaves and debris that had accumulated up top. When she got to the far end of the trailer, she set about making her way down the rungs of the tiny iron ladder next to the spare tire. Her foot caught in something, and she reached for it to free herself. Her eyes widened in disbelief. A rope noose hung from the ladder. Her heart thudded halfway up her throat. Was it meant for her? She hurriedly continued down the ladder, trying not to retch at the thought of her lifeless body hanging from the noose. Travis had said hanging would be too good a death for her. Maybe they were planning to taunt her with the rope before they killed her by some other equally gruesome method. Stepping onto solid ground at last, she exhaled softly and glanced around, searching for something she could use as a weapon. There was no way she could outrun Travis in her bare feet, and she was reluctant to make a dash for her car when she wasn't sure if he'd left the keys in it. She had to immobilize him first. Her best shot was to hide alongside the trailer and surprise him when he came out to look for her, which would happen any minute now once he realized she wasn't in the bathroom anymore. Her eyes scanned the junk surrounding the trailer. She might have only seconds to find something she could wield as a weapon. Her gaze fell on a piece of concrete behind one of the trailer tires. It was more unwieldy than she'd have liked, but it would serve her purpose. All that was left was to wait in the shadows and strike before he found her. Chapter 29. Hunkering down, Haley reached for the concrete block and began to creep cautiously around to the front of the trailer, staying low and out of sight of the door. Her skin crawled as she thought about what she had to do next. But there was no other way out of this situation. Travis and Dylan had made it clear they would show no mercy now that they had her in their clutches. Suddenly, she heard yelling, and then the sound of Travis's fists hammering on the bathroom door. Muscles tensed, she sucked in her breath and waited for him to appear in the doorway. Seconds later, the screen door flew open and Travis tore down the steps in a single leap, brandishing the stun baton. Haley swallowed the hard knot in her throat. She dreaded the thought of hurting another human being, but she had to stay committed to doing what she needed to do to save herself. She couldn't allow herself to think of Travis as anything other than a stalker who fully intended to kill her and bury her body in the middle of nowhere. Her thoughts flashed to her parents and what it would do to them if their only child vanished without a trace, never to be heard of again. Her circle of friends was small, but Natalie would be devastated, and even her hard-nosed boss, Nick, who had taught her so much in such a short span of time, would miss her. Katniss, of course, would be broken-hearted. Tears pricked at Haley's eyes. She didn't want to die. She didn't want to kill Travis either, but if it came down to it, she wouldn't succumb without a fight. When he came racing around the side of the trailer, Haley sprang at him in a cat-like movement, smashing the brick into his skull. He dropped without as much as a grunt, stunned by the ferocity of the blow she'd unleashed, but surprisingly not rendered unconscious. He blinked up at her as he lay on the ground at her feet, trying to orient himself before struggling to his knees. Haley didn't wait to watch his progress. She turned and darted to her car. Wrenching open the driver's door, hope soared inside her when she saw the keys in the ignition. But before she could slide into the seat, she felt the heavy weight of Travis's hand clawing at her shoulder. Every instinct in her body rebelled against allowing him to overpower her. Haruki's smooth voice came to mind, silently coaching her through her moves. Drawing on her training, she spun and kicked Travis in the groin with as much speed and strength as she could muster. He fell to his knees again, emitting a guttural groan. Without a second's delay, Haley scrambled into her car and turned the key, fingers trembling so hard she could scarcely grip the wheel. Slamming the shifter into drive, she took off, dust spewing from the tires as she bumped over the rutted road through the trees. Her heartbeat thudded like a drum inside her chest, blood rushing in her ears as she tried to collect her scattered thoughts. She needed to get to a phone as quickly as possible. She had to reach Detective Tillett and give him her location before Travis managed to flee the scene. He wouldn't get far on foot, but it wouldn't be long before Dylan returned and they had a vehicle at their disposal. Keeping the accelerator depressed as far to the floorboard as she dared on the dirt road, Haley concentrated on reaching the gravel road that led out of the woods. Every bone in her body rattled as her car hurtled forward. The minute she felt gravel beneath her tires, she floored the engine, oblivious to the rock chips peppering the fenders like gunfire. Beyond the woods, flat agricultural fields stretched out in every direction, nothing but a couple of ramshackle barns in sight. She estimated she couldn't be more than a few miles at most from the main road into town. Heartened by her escape, she clutched the steering wheel tighter and increased her speed again. She took the next bend in the road too fast, spinning on the gravel and almost losing control entirely. She slowed her speed a tad, fearing she would crash, and her brazen escape attempt would all have been for nothing. Up ahead, another vehicle appeared on the horizon, a tiny speck traveling in her direction. Her chest tightened. Should she flag the driver down for help or keep going to the nearest house? As the car drew closer, she caught a glimpse of the face through the windscreen, belatedly recognizing the sedan Dylan had driven away in. She gritted her teeth. He'd recognized her too, and was making a beeline for her, flashing his lights. Terror gripped her when she realized his intention was probably to run her off the road. Gripping the wheel, she held her course for as long as possible, and then, at the last second, swerved off the gravel into the neighboring field, narrowly avoiding colliding with the sedan. Immediately, she steered her car back onto the road and accelerated before Dylan had a chance to turn around. Glancing in the rearview mirror, she caught sight of a cloud of dust like a mini tornado whipping up behind her as Dylan spun his vehicle around. Terrified she wouldn't make it to the main road before he caught up with her, Haley floored the engine again until she was dancing on the verge of losing control. Despite her valiant attempt to outrun him, she could hear the roar of his engine gaining on her. Seconds later, there was a sickening crunch of metal as he rammed into her bumper. Only the seatbelt held her in place as her body was flung forward and then backward. Fighting for control, she increased her speed again, this time focused on putting as much distance as possible between her and Dylan, rather than on keeping control of the vehicle. If she gave him the chance to immobilize her car, her only protection would be gone, and he'd waste no time in finishing her off. To her horror, he began to gain on her even more rapidly, slamming into her again with more force than before. She screamed as her car spun around in the gravel, tires squealing. When she looked through the windshield, she was facing back the way she'd come. Dylan had already climbed out of his car and was beating a path toward her, waving his arms frantically. For a brief moment, Haley froze, her brain unable to function or direct her. He seized the advantage, swiftly descending on her vehicle. Haley clenched her jaw, her resolve hardening. She wasn't about to give up. She wouldn't cower and die without a fight. Forcing the shifter into reverse, she tore back down the gravel road away from him. She could feel the fender scraping on the wheel where Dylan had rammed his vehicle into it, but she closed her mind to the unnatural sound and focused her thoughts solely on making her escape. Dylan turned and ran back to his car. He would be after her in a matter of seconds. She needed to turn her car around to get to the main road, but that would cost her precious time. She wouldn't be able to outdrive him anyway. He'd already proved his car was faster than hers. Her only hope was to take him by surprise and beat him at his own game. Slamming on the brakes, she shifted into drive and depressed the accelerator. Engine screaming, she motored straight toward Dylan, eyes firmly fixed on her goal. Doggedly holding her course, she stared down the approaching sedan. Something faltered in Dylan's expression, his eyes widening when he realized she wasn't trying to evade him. This time she was heading straight for him. For a second, he lost momentum as he tried to change direction and swerve out of her path. Haley floored the accelerator, sideswiping his car. Her head jerked violently at the impact, wrenching her neck, but she clung to the wheel with sweating fingers, somehow managing to hold her course. When she glanced in the rearview mirror again, she saw Dylan's car flip and careen into the adjacent field. Alternate waves of relief and nausea coursed through her. She wheeled around and accelerated past the wreck, sobbing as she drove, desperately trying to wipe the blinding tears from her eyes with the back of her sleeve so she could see the road ahead. At long last, a swath of asphalt loomed in front of her. She peeled out onto the main road and raced toward the small cluster of businesses and houses that comprised the town a couple of miles ahead. Somehow, she'd made it out alive, but she needed to get help. Despite everything Dylan had done, she wasn't going to leave him to suffer and die on the side of the road. Or Travis either, if he hadn't already succumbed to the brutal blow she'd inflicted on him. Chapter 30. Haley clutched the paper cup of coffee between her fingers and sipped the hot liquid gratefully as Detective Tillett took her statement the following day. At her feet lay Katniss, who'd refused to leave her side since their euphoric reunion. Natalie was waiting in the reception area, ready to drive her home afterward, not willing to take no for an answer, as always. "What else are friends for?" she'd insisted. "You're exhausted and in shock. Trust me, you'll need a chauffeur and a shoulder to cry on after Detective Tillett's done with you." Local police had apprehended Travis and Dylan Ramsey without incident. Travis had been found inside the trailer, disoriented and nursing a head wound and a blinding headache. Things had deteriorated once he'd been taken to the hospital, and he'd been put on suicide watch after threatening to kill himself. Dylan had been extricated from his vehicle, unconscious but remarkably without any serious injuries other than a broken arm. "I won't be charged with assault, will I?" Haley asked.
"No, you were the victim. You did what you had to do to get away,"
Detective Tillett reassured her.
"They'll be discharged from the hospital into police custody as soon as they've recovered sufficiently. At that point, they'll be formally charged."
"With kidnapping?"
"And intent to murder. As co-conspirators, they'll both be locked up for a long time. We did a thorough search of the trailer and Dylan's vehicle and found all the items they bought. Shovels, tarp, duct tape, plastic sheeting."
Detective Tillett hesitated.
"And the noose on the ladder. We were also able to retrieve messages from burner phones in their possession, detailing their plan to kill you and bury your body in the woods nearby."
A tremor crossed Haley's shoulders.
"We'll still need your testimony to bring them to justice,"
Detective Tillett said. Haley averted her gaze.
She wasn't sure how she felt about going to court and seeing her husband on the stand. It was still incomprehensible to her that he had married her with the sole intention of terrorizing her and ultimately killing her.
"My officers can't stop talking about how you single-handedly escaped from that trailer and left them both hospitalized,"
Detective Tillett said good-humoredly.
"I guess your self-defense training paid off in the end."
Haley grimaced. "It's called desperation. I got lucky. Things could have turned out very differently."
"Let's start at the beginning,"
Detective Tillett said, resting one ankle over his knee.
"When did you first meet Dylan Ramsey?"
Haley sipped her coffee, mustering up the courage it would take to finally admit to what she'd covered up for so long. Quashing her misgivings, she began to fill Detective Tillett in on the connection between the brothers and what she had done back in high school. She explained how Travis had dated one of her quad sisters and found out who'd been behind the prank that had gone so terribly wrong, the dark secret she'd spent her whole life running from. As she feared, telling the story brought up a lot of unresolved pain, and she broke down more than once, forced to take multiple breaks before she finally stumbled through it. When she finished, she let out a ragged breath, ready to face the consequences of her actions. "Are you going to reopen the investigation?" Detective Tillett rubbed his jaw thoughtfully.
"You didn't commit a crime, Haley. Even back then, you and your friends couldn't have been prosecuted for Emma's death. Your actions, regrettable as they were, wouldn't have been enough to warrant an arrest. I'm not going to reopen the investigation into Emma Murray's suicide. But you need to be prepared to deal with the fallout once the press connect the dots between the two stories. This is the kind of stuff they eat up."
Haley swallowed hard. "Yeah, I'm sure I'll lose my job over this, but I deserve whatever they throw at me. I should have owned up to what I did back then. If I'd paid the price at the time, it would never have come to this." She ran a hand through her hair in an agitated fashion. "I thought I was protecting myself by covering it up all these years, but the cost was so much greater in the end. Not just to me, but to Emma's parents. They've lost everything now." Detective Tillett squared his jaw.
"You're not responsible for what Travis and Dylan did. They allowed their bitterness to cloud their judgment."
A knock on the door interrupted them, and a young female officer stuck her head around the door. She raised a brow at Detective Tillett. "Can I have a word, sir?" He threw Haley an apologetic look.
"Hold that thought. I'll be right back."
She nodded and slumped back in her chair. Her quad sisters would be both relieved and shocked to learn that their stalker, her husband, had been apprehended. No doubt the press would harangue them too once the details came out, but it was a small price to pay for what they'd all done. When Detective Tillett reappeared a few minutes later, he didn't immediately resume where they'd left off. Instead, he drummed his fingers on the desk, a strained expression on his face.
"There's someone here who wants to speak to you. To be honest, I'm not sure how you're going to feel about it."
Haley frowned, her heartbeat picking up pace. It couldn't be Dylan. Detective Tillett said he'd be taken into custody as soon as the hospital released him. Her parents were flying in from Florida, but their flight didn't get here until late afternoon. And Natalie was already at the station waiting to drive her home. "Who is it?" she asked tentatively.
"It's Dylan's mother."
Haley's eyebrows shot up. "Caroline Murray?" An icy fear gripped her at the thought of seeing Emma's mother again. There could only be one reason why she'd come, to look in the face of the woman who had driven her daughter to take her own life and tell her how much she hated her. "Do I have to see her?" Haley asked, a plaintive note creeping into her voice. Detective Tillett shrugged.
"Your call, but this might be your chance to put things right. You've been telling me about the guilt you've been dragging around like a ball and chain all these years."
Haley raked her fingernails over her cheeks distractedly. "I'm sure she despises me now that she knows the truth. She'd probably like to finish what her son started, and I wouldn't blame her." Detective Tillett hefted his brows and folded his arms across his chest.
"She's hardly going to attack you here. Besides, she's old and frail. Your newly acquired self-defense moves could take her out in a heartbeat."
Haley gave a wry grin. "I know I'm being a coward trying to wriggle my way out of this meeting." She took a deep breath, and then slowly let the air leak back out of her lungs. Over the years, she'd imagined this day 1,000 times, in 1,000 different ways. But none of them had played out like this with her coming face to face with Emma's mother. Nevertheless, Detective Tillett was right. For what it was worth, this was her chance to extend a heartfelt apology for her role in what had happened.
Okay, I'll talk to her. Will you stay in the room with us?
Sure, if that's what you want,
Detective Tillett replied, getting to his feet.
I'll fetch her.
After he'd left the room, Haley laid her head down on the desk, her cheek pressed against the cool steel of the table, her thoughts drifting back to her sophomore year and the day she'd pinned Emma's most secret dreams to the notice board outside Mr. Davidson's classroom. A single act that had ruined her teacher's life as well, destroyed his reputation and career. Everything about that fateful day would be forever imprinted on her mind. She could still smell the interior of Lachlan's new Prius and the cheap perfume Emma had sprayed on the pages of her diary. Sickening odors that swirled together in a concentrate that made her stomach roil. Smells that could transport her back to her 15-year-old self in half a heartbeat. She startled at an abrupt knock, quickly straightening up in her chair. The door opened, and Detective Tillett escorted Caroline Murray inside. Her tired eyes locked with Haley's, her expression unreadable as she shuffled across to the table and sat down heavily in a chair opposite her. Haley shifted uncomfortably in her seat, waiting for Detective Tillett to say something to initiate the conversation, but he leaned against the wall at the back of the room, signaling that he was only there as a spectator, at best to referee any potential situations that might arise. Caroline's lips puckered open and closed a couple of times before the words began to flow.
I'm so terribly sorry for what my sons did to you, dear. I can't even begin to imagine how terrified you must have been, tied up in that trailer, not knowing what was going to happen next.
Salty tears trickled down Haley's cheeks as the horror of her ordeal came rushing back. She hung her head and shook it slowly.
I'm the one who should be apologizing to you. It was me who tore the page out of Emma's diary and pinned it to the notice board. I can never forgive myself for what I did.
Caroline's gnarled hand reached out across the table and squeezed her arm gently.
I know, dear. That's why I wanted to speak with you. It's time to let the past go and forgive yourself. Detective Tillett told me you've been blaming yourself for my daughter's death all these years, but the truth is, Emma wanted to kill herself long before you found her diary. She was a wonderful girl, and gifted in many ways, but she was fragile. She struggled with depression and suicidal thoughts. It wasn't the first time she'd tried to kill herself. She'd been in and out of counseling for years.
Haley stared at Caroline in shock, trying to absorb her words. If she was understanding this right, Emma's mother wasn't condemning her for what she'd done at all. Quite the opposite. She was absolving her of any blame in Emma's death. A lone tear slid down her face at the woman's kindness in the face of her own pain. What I did was still a despicable thing. I'm deeply ashamed of it. I was a cowardly bully, Haley said. The only thing I can say in my defense is that I'm not that person anymore. Believe me, I've done everything in my power since to make amends.
Caroline smiled warmly, her paper-thin skin stretched across her jaw. Yes, I know you have. Detective Tillett told me all about your work with Big Brothers Big Sisters. I'm proud of you, dear. You took the wrong you did and turned it into something beautiful. Unfortunately, my boys chose to do the opposite. They let the pain of their sister's suicide fester inside them until they turned into the very monsters they'd built you up in their minds to be.
How can you be so forgiving of me? Haley asked.
Caroline tweaked a sad smile. I first had to learn to forgive myself for not being a better mother, for not noticing the signs that day, for not knowing about Emma's infatuation with a teacher. In retrospect, there were so many things I could blame myself for, but at the end of the day, I had to accept that the choice she made was her own. There's always a right way and a wrong way to deal with our problems. Sadly, Emma chose the wrong way. And she hurt a lot of other people in the process, including all the people who loved her most.
Haley sucked on her lip, struggling to hold back the deluge of tears threatening to spill.
So you see, Caroline continued, it wasn't hard to forgive you. You were a 15-year-old child, trying to find your way, just like my Emma. I don't hold what you did against you. Living with bitterness is a kind of death in itself. We all make mistakes and do stupid things we regret. And I've learned that people can change, for better or for worse. Thank you,
Haley managed to squeeze out between sobs. Caroline patted Haley's hands between her own.
I want you to promise me that you'll put this behind you now and move forward with your life. For Emma's sake, live the life she chose to give up on and live it to the fullest. Haley blinked back her tears and nodded. What about your husband? Can he ever forgive me? Caroline smiled. Ronnie never held anything against you to begin with. He always said that whoever had posted that diary page would be haunted for the rest of their lives by what they'd done, and he only prayed they could forgive themselves. He sounds like a wonderful man, Haley said, gulping back another sob. He is indeed. And a wonderful husband. Caroline's eyes twinkled. Maybe you'll come back and visit us again sometime. He'd enjoy meeting you. Haley gave a tight smile, but said nothing. She appreciated Caroline reaching out to her, but she wasn't sure that was a promise she could keep. For now, at least, she needed to cut all ties to Dylan, and that meant everything and everyone associated with him as well. Both brothers would serve long prison terms for kidnapping and conspiracy to murder. At last, she was free of her stalkers and their campaign of terror. But, more importantly, she was free of the ghosts of her past that had shadowed her through the years and held her hostage to a burden of guilt that had never been hers to bear. Emma Murray was a broken soul long before they crossed paths. Haley only wished she'd been strong enough to reach out a helping hand to her instead of contributing to her pain. Going forward, she was determined to become the type of friend she should have been years ago, the type of friend she had waiting for her in Natalie. She would start by baking Lance a big plate of cookies. She owed him big time for his many acts of kindness and for watching out for her. After that, she would make a concerted effort to try and persuade Edith to move out of the house she shared with her loathsome brother and begin life afresh. Together, they could find somewhere safe for her to live. Finally, she would reach out to her quad sisters and put them out of their misery. At last, they were all free of the dark cloud that had hung over them for all these years. And maybe one day, when she'd managed to put all this behind her, she might even find love again. Until then, she had the best companion a woman could ask for. She leaned down and ruffled Katniss's ears. Don't worry, girl. We're a package deal from now on. If I ever fall in love again, it will only be with a man who loves you first. Chapter 31. Shortly after 10 the following morning, Haley's phone began to vibrate. She set down her coffee mug on the kitchen counter and unplugged her phone from the wall outlet, frowning when Detective Tillett's number came up on the screen.
Dylan's awake and lucid,
he said when she took his call.
The officer outside his room notified me a few minutes ago. I know this won't be easy for you. I don't want you hearing it from anyone else first.
Haley swallowed back the bile rising up her throat. Much as she hated to admit it, part of her had hoped her husband would succumb to his injuries and spare her the agony of a trial where she'd be forced to testify against him. She couldn't deny she still had feelings for him, despite what he'd done. It was hard to hate the man you'd loved enough to marry without some level of wavering between regret and rage.
Thank you for letting me know, she managed, her throat like sandpaper.
Detective Tillett coughed discreetly.
I also wanted to inform you that there's been a development.
Haley's thoughts raced in myriad directions. What now? Had Travis managed to kill himself like he'd threatened to do? Had her husband suffered a traumatic brain injury and forgotten what he'd done now that he was awake? That would be awfully convenient. She almost didn't want to know what was coming next. What kind of development?
I think you'll be surprised to hear that your husband told us a very different story from yours.
Haley gasped. What are you talking about? Don't tell me he tried to deny what happened in the trailer, because if...
No, nothing like that.
Detective Tillett interrupted.
In fact, he confirmed everything you told us, but he swears he was trying to stop Travis. He was only playing along with him so he could go into town and get help. He said he made up some excuse about forgetting to pick up the supplies so he could alert the authorities.
What? Haley sank back on her couch, her thoughts flitting back and forth like shooting stars inside her brain. That doesn't make any sense. Why didn't he stop Travis before he abducted me?
He claims he didn't know Travis was planning to abduct you that day. And when he arrived at the trailer, Travis was armed. He had no choice but to pretend to go along with him in order to buy some time.
Of course he's going to say that, Haley responded, exasperated.
He's trying to put all the blame on Travis now that he's been caught so that...
Actually...
Detective Tillett cut in.
His iPhone records, not the burner phone, show that he made a call to the police right before you did, as soon as he got close enough to town to pick up service. He warned the cops that Travis was armed. Then he headed back to check on you. That's when he encountered you on the road. He says he flashed his lights to try and get you to stop. When you didn't, he was afraid Travis had abducted you and was forcing you to drive at gunpoint. That's why he tried to stop you by ramming your car. The officers who responded to the scene of the accident were already responding to his call when yours came in.
Haley fell silent, grappling with the enormity of what she was hearing. If she was understanding Detective Tillett's drift, Dylan was saying he hadn't been in cahoots with his brother after all. He'd been trying to help her. Could it be true? Her heart tripped with a sudden surge of renewed hope. Was it possible he hadn't wanted to kill her? That, in fact, he'd laid everything on the line in an attempt to save her?
We're still investigating all this, of course,
Detective Tillett continued.
But so far, your husband's story is checking out. He sent multiple text messages over the past few weeks to his brother, telling him to back off and leave you both alone. Naturally, he'll still face charges for obstruction and concealing evidence.
I don't know what to say, Haley whispered. My emotions are all over the place. Up until a few days ago, I believed my husband loved me. Then I found out he was trying to kill me. Now you're telling me he was only pretending to help his brother in a bid to save me? Detective Tillett grunted.
It's a crazy situation, but that's how it appears. We're still sifting through all the evidence to make sure his story checks out. But I can tell you that, so far, Travis has confirmed everything your husband told us.
He paused and then added softly,
He's been asking for you. Do you want to talk to him? We'd be very interested in hearing how he explains it all to you.
I'm not sure. I mean, I suppose so.
You'll be perfectly safe,
Detective Tillett assured her.
There's an officer stationed outside the room. We're not taking any chances until we have clarity on the situation, and he's been cleared of all kidnapping and attempted murder charges.
Haley chewed on her lip. What about Travis?
He's been granted bail. But he'll be fitted with a tracking device as one of his conditions of bail, so you don't have to worry about him trying to finish what he started.
Haley scrunched her eyes shut, scarcely able to grasp this sudden turn of events. I guess I'll head to the hospital and see what my husband has to say for himself.
Call me after you've talked to him.
Haley hung up and drove to the hospital in a daze, trying to gather her thoughts into some semblance of order. Had Dylan been attempting to protect her by pretending to go along with Travis's insidious plan? Her heart ached for the husband she'd loved and thought she'd lost. Was it possible he'd truly loved her all along? She parked in the hospital parking structure and stuffed her ticket into her purse with a gnawing sense of trepidation. She was equal parts desperate to see her husband, yet filled with dread at the thought of coming face to face with him again. She wasn't sure how she would feel when she walked into his room and saw firsthand what she'd done to him by running him off the road. She'd never intentionally harmed another human being before, let alone hurt someone she cared about. And now it seemed he was innocent of any part in the twisted plot his brother had cooked up, that he'd actually come to the trailer to save her. But how could she have known that? It had been a terrifying ordeal, and if Dylan truly loved her, he wouldn't hold it against her. He would understand exactly why she'd had to do what she'd done to save herself. Haley checked in with reception and made her way up to the second floor to her husband's room. She nodded to the officer on duty outside and volunteered her ID before pushing open the door. Inside, the room smelled of antiseptic and stale chemical cleaning odors. Her eyes fastened on Dylan lying on the bed, eyes closed, his left arm in a cast, his face bruised and swollen. Haley recoiled at the sight, momentarily taken aback at the damage she'd inflicted. She flinched when his eyes suddenly fluttered open. They traveled, unfocused, around the room before they alighted on her loitering by the door.
Sweetheart, he rasped, you're safe.
Haley pressed her lips tightly together to keep the hot tears that immediately welled up from spilling down her cheeks. There was no denying the emotion in his voice. It was the old Jake. Her beloved husband calling her sweetheart. Travis had scoffed at that term of endearment, sowing doubt and discord in her mind, but it felt right when Jake whispered it, like it always had. Yes, I'm safe, she whispered back. I'm so sorry, babe. I thought...
Jake closed his eyes briefly.
Don't say anything more. You have absolutely nothing to apologize for. I should have told you everything from the beginning.
He gestured at the chair next to his bed.
Sit down. I owe you a proper explanation.
Haley's shoulders heaved up and down. They both owed each other the truth at this point. I take it you know what I did to Emma? Jake gave a tentative nod, wincing as if even the smallest exertion pained him.
I wanted revenge at first, just like Travis. But after a while, I came to see things from my mother's point of view. You were only a kid yourself. You didn't know Emma's history. You weren't to blame for what she did. She would have found another excuse to do it, sooner or later.
He brushed a hand across his jaw, his voice breaking.
Travis, on the other hand, refused to relent. On his 21st birthday, he even stuck a gun in his mouth and threatened to kill himself if I didn't help him hunt down Emma's killer.
Haley pressed a hand to her mouth. She wanted to reach out and comfort her husband, but another part of her wanted to wait until she'd heard the rest of his story.
I agreed, only to placate him. I was afraid he'd do something stupid if I didn't pretend I was on board. I never thought we'd actually find out anything.
Dylan continued.
My mother and I tried to get Travis help, many times over the years, but he wouldn't go to counseling. When he finally tracked you down, I asked you out on a date as a way to get close to you. The truth is, I was trying to figure out a way to protect you, to warn you, and then...
He let out a sigh and fixed his gaze on Haley.
Then I fell for you.
Tears trailed down her cheeks. She leaned forward and rested her head on her husband's chest, sobbing silently for several minutes as he ran his fingers tenderly through her hair.
I'm so sorry, Hales. I should never have put you at risk. It was the dumbest thing I've ever done. I thought I could handle the situation and talk sense into Travis. I was trying to spare him from going to prison.
He shook his head sadly.
You have to understand where I was coming from. Mom's lost so much already. In retrospect, I should have went straight to the police.
You knew it was him all the time? Haley asked.
Yes, but I never once thought he would take it to the next level and try to kill you. I managed to talk him into backing off for a while after we got married, but when he attacked me that night, I knew he was too dangerous to be trusted. I was working on having him committed. You have to believe me, Hales. I swear, if I'd thought for even 1 minute...
She pressed a finger to his lips.
Shh. Don't say another word. I believe you. Detective Tillett told me about your phone records.
I know you were only trying to help me. Dylan squeezed his eyes shut and brushed the back of his hand across his face.
Travis won't be able to hurt us anymore. He won't be getting out of prison for a very long time.
I know, Haley said softly. We can start over. Put all this behind us. She leaned over and kissed her husband gently on the forehead. You need to rest now. She picked up her purse from the floor and got to her feet. I'll be back in the morning with some clothes and toiletries.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Jake smiled weakly and then sank back in his pillows, watching as Haley exited the room with a final wave. Back in her car, she gripped the steering wheel tightly, her eyes brimming with tears. She'd almost killed the man she loved.
And it had all been a horrible misunderstanding.
He'd sacrificed everything to try and protect her. She didn't blame him in the least for trying to protect Travis, too. He'd been trying to salvage what was left of his broken family. She could hardly fault him for that. In fact, she loved him all the more for it. She started up the engine and dialed Detective Tillett. Dylan fished out his phone and hit the speed dial for his brother's phone. It rang 3 times before Travis picked up.
I was beginning to think you weren't going to pull through, bro. Last I heard, she left you in a coma.
Dylan grunted.
I'm tougher than you give me credit for. Besides, I was milking my injuries. Evidently. What's the word? Our backup plan with the phones worked. The cops think I'm the good guy. And sweetheart, she bought it too.
Dylan replied.
I'm being discharged in the morning. Great. I picked up the passports. You know where to find yours. I'll be waiting. Order me a margarita. I'll be there as soon as I finish what we started.
This has been The Lies She Told, a psychological suspense thriller, written by N.L. Hinkins, narrated by Brittany Goodwin, Copyright 2019 by Norma L. Hinkins. Production copyright by Norma L. Hinkins.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.